The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, hour two of the nation. Coming up in 20 minutes, Jerry Jones asked about what Dak Prescott said, encouraging Mike McCarthy getting another contract. Okay, so we have that coming up in the C-Note in about 20 minutes. It's time now for the NFL News of the Day. Here's your host, Zach Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. I don't know if we're like still rocking with these survivor picks or not, but there is some news regarding injuries. We do have Stephon Gilmore. He's going to be out. That's our buddy Gilly for Sunday's game against Atlanta. Falcons are reeling. If you're interested in going with the Falcons over the Vikings, Vikings have been just barely squeaking out some victories, so maybe that's a good one. If you haven't taken the Dirty Birds yet, you can go ahead and take the Falcons. Also, running back Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner for the Jets are both going to be doubtful for that matchup against whoever the hell they're playing because they're sick. So there's a sickness going on around the Jets facility, maybe another big reason. I mean, you're usually going to fade the Jets probably, but this could be a specific reason to do it. They're taking on the Dolphins. So if you haven't, if you have not taken the Dolphins yet, maybe it could be a good week to take them over the Jets.
Yeah, I would love to know if I've taken the Eagles or the Dolphins.
Eric, you have taken the Eagles and the Dolphins.
Great.
Have I taken the Dolphins, Brian?
Perfect. Zach, you have not taking the Dolphins.
Put me down for the Fins. Let's go.
All right.
Have I taken the Buccaneers?
Hang on. Writing in. Eric, you have not taken the Buccaneers.
All right.
Go ahead. Bucks over the Raiders.
Lock it in.
You got it? You know our guy Sincere McCormick, who we got to interview, and you asked him that math question?
I asked him, I did, a very simple addition question.
Just to try and get the 69 answer. That was all
that
it was.
It was just like a pre-combine, like, prep yourself. This is what the combine's going to be like, dude.
And we felt like total bleep holes because he was stumped.
He was. His wheels were it looked like Zach Galifianakis with all the numbers flying around.
Yes, it did. But he's taken over that backfield there in Vegas, and he's playing pretty good football.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks too, or as well.
I picked up McCormick in a couple of my fantasy leagues. This is the final regular season week, right? That makes three of us on Tampa.
It's playoffs and fantasy.
It's playoffs and fantasy, right?
I don't think I'm making the playoffs in any league.
Do or die week.
It is. Good luck for everybody out there who's good at fantasy football. I might retire after this.
And a big shout out to Brian Sykes, who just placed a $1,500 bid to hang
out with
the G-Bag Nation and all sorts of incredible other celebrities for charity. He's going to eat the best food. He's going to drink the best drink, and he's going to have the time of his life.
As long as he doesn't psych us like Jeremy.
Psych!
Yeah, don't psych.
But you can still bid on this,
Brian's a good dude. You can
still bid. I mean, this is not a
bid till the end of our show, 877-881-1053. You can message me. You can call Ross. Whatever you want to do, you can get that bid in. It's got to be over $1,500. You can also bid for the KNC table. That's got to be at least $1,500. They don't have a single bid, so we'll help them out as well. And it's going to a great cause in the Sandlot charity. And it is a fun time. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's an incredible time.
John Gray's going to be there. We'll talk with John Gray coming up at 4:45-ish here in the G-Bag Nation. Darren Woodson, Drew Pearson's usually there. Jesse Holly, our buddy, will be there as well. He's there every year. There's a ton of people, local Dallas celebrities and athletes, and it's amazing.
And they're all accessible, too. It's not like you're like, oh, they're way up there. It's cool to see them. It's like oh, you go dap them up, and you give them a hug, and you take a picture. Oh, hey, Eric Nadel, he's right there. I'm not dreaming. No, you're not. Let's go take a pic. Let's go chat with him.
You've got me on that wall. All right, Dan Campbell last night, the fourth down call, he said, I just felt like we needed to end it on offense. It was ballsy. And those balls of steel worked out for Man Campbell as they do indeed get the first down. Jared Goff falling as he hands the ball off. It ends up working out. They kick the game-winning field goal. Now, the post-game locker room speech was epic. And Dan Skipper, who ended up starting that game in place of their injured tackle Taylor Decker, and he was getting under the skin. I mean, he is their Brock Hoffman. Like Quay Walker, he ends up kind of blocking him, shoving him a little bit. Next thing you know, Quay Walker gives him a shove back. Dan Skipper, with an epic flop job, looks straight at the camera, gives it a little winky wink.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, boom, there's a flag, 15 yards, personal foul on Quay Walker of Green Bay. That's how you get it done.
But you got to know the opponent there. Quay Walker is a hothead dude.
He is.
And just go for it.
And he did.
He will give you 15 yards every opportunity he can.
And another reason, I mean, with the coaching job that they're doing there in Detroit with Dan Campbell, they've got a ton of defensive players on IR. Aiden Hutchinson, the report today is if they make it to the Super Bowl, which it's looking like they got a great chance to do, he can come back and play the Super Bowl. What an amazing story that would be. Hmm. But post-game, the speech, he's calling out Dan Skipper, who might have been getting sick.
To step up, man. That's a way to step up. There you go, Skip. Keep throwing up, whatever you're doing up there. That's a way to freaking land on the line. Guys, I'm so freaking proud of you, man. That's a way to...
Keep throwing up over there, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, it looked like he had his face in some type of trash can light.
He did.
Like, he was a post-game puke. You see the pre-game puke all the time.
Oh,
end-game
yeah.
puke all uh-huh. the time. Never hear much about the post-game puke.
Caught some bad Gatorade.
Maybe.
That can happen.
Or you kind of just overdo it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a little like waterlogged or Gatorade logged or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, the other.
Get your bad flavor.
Oh, what is the worst flavor of Gatorade?
Probably the original, the lemon lime thing.
The yellow one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Sometimes
I'll freaking
I
come
like
to blows with you over that.
Yeah.
I think that fruit punch one's pretty bad.
Very sugary.
All the straight up traditional flavors are outstanding, and then many of the branch outs are good too. Like the Glacier Cherry, the white one, but it's Glacier Cherry, phenomenal.
I thought that was Frost.
But then you get like some
that's great.
Some, or maybe it's Frost, or whatever. But like that one's really
blue.
Good. The
I mean, purple's
the
amazing. Any purple's going to be amazing.
Yeah, purple's great. I love the orange one.
Yes.
Just the basic ones are out of this world.
Orange one makes you feel better.
I just wish I had the moment to drink it out of the glass jar like you guys did.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Made by Stokely Food Company. Yeah.
You'd have one of those, little Sunny Delight, and then a pitcher of Kool-Aid. You're good to go for the summer.
You guys are loaded up.
I love how you just conveniently left out the vodka.
Convenient.
Well, you know, that was stashed into the bed.
Okay, did you guys check out Matt LaFleur going at the Lions fan?
Okay, we had a post-game puke, and we had a pre-game, like, tomfoolery.
I know the feeling. I've been down there doing that before.
Now, does this Lions fan actually deserve a game ball for getting under the skin of Matt LaFleur and the Packers before the game even started? Here was LaFleur addressing the heated exchange with the Lions fan pre-game.
Yeah, I've never been a part of something like that. He was talking junk to our players, giving them the throat slash sign. And I'm, you know, you're trying to de-escalate it, and then he gets in my face. So I thought it was pretty unsportsmanlike. Like, I've never seen that. I've been on many fields, and usually they police that much better. I thought it was an arrogant fan that, wanted to get in part of the action. And just, I would like to see security or something step in there and get him out of there, because it's He shouldn't be doing that.
LaFleur let a fan draw him offsides. I mean, it looked to me like LaFleur was the one getting in his face because he didn't like what he was saying. It is funny that this is like one of the American flag guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're all out there getting ready to do the pregame stuff, and right before the national anthem, he's doing throat slasher bits and calling him out. But LaFleur's the one, he's taking his headset off and getting in his face.
He tells him to shut the bleep up.
Yeah, like five times.
Yeah. I mean, he got heated, and I guess, like, if you're a Lions fan, kudos to you. I mean, I kind of want that. Think about that. If that's Nick Sirianni down there, he's probably having an even worse reaction than what Matt LaFleur did. He might go up and punch that fan in the face.
I think Big Dom walks down there and takes care of it, though.
Dom probably would get in the middle.
I think Big Dom walks down there and there's no more discussion.
Well, he loves his camera time. We do know that with Big Dom. So he probably would.
Is this fiery from LaFleur? Do you like this if you're a Packers fan? Are you thinking, man, this guy is too emotional?
Well, he does look like he's going to burst into tears at any second. I've always said that about LaFleur. He looks like he's about to cry.
This felt like an overcompensation of like, no, I'm angry emotional. I'm not sad emotional guy.
Yeah, he was angry. But I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe some people are going to take this like, hey, this fan, you can't act that way. You got to hold yourself in a certain type of respectful manner if you're going to be on the field.
This is a divisional game, bro. This is a huge game. You just came into the Lions' den.
I'm kind of in on this. Kudos to that fan.
Right. The cucumber one is getting shouted out a lot right now for Gatorade.
Cucumber's a crappy one.
It's funny how most of them are
they
coming
have a
in
cucumber?
With how cucumber sucks so bad. But there are a couple of people that say cucumber lime Gatorade is the best.
Yes.
There's a couple of people that say that. But for the most part, the worst Gatorade is apparently, allegedly, the cucumber one.
One person said it even tastes like feet and pee. I mean,
how would he know exactly?
Yeah, how would you know?
That's a great question. 214, how would you know?
Yeah. Comparing it to the smell.
Maybe he drank the pee after the soak in his ankle in that bucket.
That could Ocho be. Cinco's pee.
Yeah.
Gee, Ocho can't be eat any McDonald's this week because he lost a bet with Ryan Clark. I don't know what the bet was, but I just saw a video of how he's going through the buffet line, and Ryan Clark is saying, hey, what do you usually eat right now? He said McDonald's, but I can't do that because I lost a bet, and I honor my bets.
Well, he better get used to losing because he's apparently getting in the boxing ring with James Harrison the night before the Super Bowl.
Ridiculous. Man, you know, they could help him. Maybe he should lay off the McDonald's. Okay, Monday Night Football. There's a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, one of America's sweethearts, that might not be rooting for America's team. Cade York, local product.
Oh, she's dating one of the Bengals.
Sure is. So here's Cade York. Now, we talked yesterday, Evan McPherson, who is the usual Bengals kicker. He has just been placed on injured reserve. He's got an injury. So they had to go work out a new kicker. They did. It was Cade York. They signed him. Here's Cade telling about, well, his girlfriend.
My girlfriend is actually a cheerleader for the Cowboys, and she got baptized this Sunday. So it was awesome going to do that, and all of her teammates got to come watch. And then literally the next day I get a call that I'm going to work out for the Bengals and they're playing on Monday. I was like, well, Zoe, I will see you at home no matter what. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So she will be on the sidelines cheering for the Dallas Cowboys.
She's going to be cheering for me. So it's going to be great. But, yes, we'll both be there. She's already told me second quarter and fourth quarter is when she's on the visitor side. So I'll have to sneak her a couple smiles. Yeah.
Right, I think you gotta go plan a big wet Monday Night Football kiss on her in your Bengals uniform to a Cowboys cheerleader. That's what you got to do.
Didn't have
your
guy,
moment, Cade York.
Nelson?
Yes, for the Bills.
Nelson for the Bills scored and handed her the ball. Handed his girlfriend the ball.
You're right, that
she
did
happen.
She was
a cheerleader.
Well, and it got me thinking, we're talking proposals. Is this not the best time ever if you're Cade York? Zoe's the girlfriend?
No, now you're making it too much about yourself.
It's big about her.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how I'm looking at this.
You kind of feel like that maybe she doesn't need to chair this week.
They didn't even.
No. Oh, conflict of interest? We just bench her?
Wait,
all of a sudden now you're doing the Missouri Tigers coach thing. Remember with the Aggie situation?
Yeah, but you're affiliated
with this guy, and you went off on Drinkwitz for that.
Yeah, you did.
Don't go full
Drinkwitz.
But
this is part of the presentation. This is TV. This is viral videos of an opposition team kissing a Cowboys cheerleader. Yeah. We can't have that. They don't let the Cowboys cheerleaders date Cowboys players.
I think she needs
a loophole.
I think she gets to sit down with pay. She gets to sit down this week with pay.
I would give her the opportunity to go do a professional job, you know. But if you mess up, you're fired. And what is a mess up looking like? Like her kissing a member of the other team,
like,
receiving the kiss from her boyfriend.
Like York,
after
like
he kicks a field goal,
he makes a game winning field goal, and she's giving it the jumping around bit. Yeah, I'd say that's kind of
okay. Yeah, so if she starts actually cheering for the Bengals, this is where we go. We draw the line here.
Let's go Bengals!
You know, Zoe, stop it!
What if like he misses one, and all the other ones are so excited except her?
She's going to handle this with the utmost integrity. She just got baptized. She's walking in newness of life right now. Okay. She's seeing things in a way that she never has before.
It's a whole new world.
She's going to have respect and loyalty to the star.
Why tempt her?
I mean, even Jesus was tempted.
This literally just happened. I mean, like, Cade York wasn't even supposed to be playing in this game. Now he gets signed. It's just, you know, by the divine grace of God that this is even a situation.
I think she needs to watch from the stands.
You know what, Brian? Pipe down over
there. If she does that, then she's going to be wearing a full-on Bengals cheerleading uniform, and she's going to be pom-pomming
on the front row.
This
is not Zoe's fault. We are not blaming Zoe for this, okay? You cheer, Zoe. You cheer. Just make sure you're still cheering.
Do you think the other cheerleaders are kind of giving her side eye a little bit?
Maybe. There could be some spitting going on.
Oh, yeah, because the cheerleaders are actually invested in what happens.
Some are.
They are.
They're like super like Cowboys fan, like Walchuk. They're going to get rowdy on somebody for talking ass. I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Some of those gals are pretty, they're pretty locked in.
Some of them love the Dallas Cowboys. Some don't. Mm. I guess Zoe might be rooting for the Bengals here. Randy Moss played the audio earlier. He talked about his health situation. He's actually taking an extended leave of absence now from ESPN to address his health. So still thoughts and prayers with him. And hopefully Randy Moss is able to return to Sunday NFL Countdown before the end of the season. But, I mean, if he's going to take a hiatus here, that does not sound good.
You know, it's a personal and private medical situation. I get that. But I think Randy Moss is doing himself a disservice by being pretty private about it. You know, I think it's time to get out there and start beating the drum loudly that you need somebody to help you. You know, yeah. Go ahead and check that donor on your driver's license. Oof. And see if we can find a match.
All right, last thing here, and I haven't, I've like had this the whole week, and I haven't really wanted to share it, but
I'm you had a Randy Moss situation?
I'm just going to share it.
Did you have another friend crap on your couch again?
No, that was a one-time thing, and I'm actually going to see Jared tonight after the show, but we're not going to be at my house. We're going to be at somebody else's
house. You going to crap at his couch?
Return fire. It's a bring your own plastic sheet night.
I haven't gone all day, and I'm allowing that back up. In fact, I might be having a colonoscopy on his couch later. There was a comparison, Eagles to the 92 Cowboys. And the numbers here are somewhat similar. And are we looking at a comparison that is actually legitimate here? Both teams in the NFCs got off to 10-2 starts, won 11 games the previous season. Both have 26-year-old quarterbacks. At the time, it was Aikman. Now it's Jalen Hurts, who also happened to make a shortstop at Oklahoma. Both had a fourth-year coach, Jimmy Johnson and Nick Sirianni, seeking their first Super Bowl ring. Both had two of the younger defenses in the league and the top-ranked total defense in the NFL. Both drafted two defensive backs in the first two rounds that year. Dallas notably took Darren Woodson in the second round. Eagles took Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And both will surely have Pro Bowl triplets. You had Aikman, Irvin, Emmett, Hurts, Barkley, Brown. There's a lot of similarities here. I don't want this to
be
a thing.
They're not the best team in the league, though.
No, I agree. Like,
I think the big difference is the coach.
I think the big difference is screw the Eagles. You know,
I just, like that answer.
Just F them, and I don't like this. CBS Sports has done it, but it wasn't anything that I thought of.
I feel disrespected for Troy right now. You know,
right? Like,
how big of a deal is the quarterback? Who wrote this article?
You know what? I'm going to tell you.
Seriously, this is embarrassing.
Douglas Clawson. Okay, so you can go and send your hate mail to Douglas Clawson, and I will say, Douglas, you might be a sweet man. You might do great work. Face, Sirianni S. Punchable.
Yeah, that's tough. You hate to see it, Wolchuk.
Very goofy looking, Douglas.
Here's Jerry Jones this morning, asked about Dak Prescott endorsing Mike McCarthy. How much weight does that hold?
You know, Dak has a vested interest in the team. He's basically a very, very incremental, critical part of our success as we go forward in the future. And so his thoughts and ideas about how to be better are very important to me. And I would say that about him. I would say in a big way, because I have that kind of respect for him. The wrong interpretation would be is if we sit down with any player and basically bounce around whether to pay a coach this much or whether to pay him that much, or whether to have certain years on a contract or not have certain years on a contract. That's probably an area that I'm not sure he even wants to get involved in. But as to helping Mike, I understand completely what he had in mind there, and that was a very noble and the right thing for him to say. If he had been out here and our quarterback and making plays and helping us have a better record than we've got right now, that's the way to help Mike. So those kinds of things I know are hard when you're hurt and injured. Being injured is the toughest part of being an athlete in my mind.
Okay, so, I mean, I think three things stood out to me from there. You know, it is very important, the ideas on how to be better. And I like to hear that because, you know, I think a lot of these quarterbacks have a better grasp on some of the trends. Wrong interpretation would be to sit down with any player and ask him about contracts. It was fascinating when he jumped to that. My mind immediately went to, I'm negotiating Mike's next deal.
And I'm sort of now in this Jerry Jones negotiating posture where we don't talk about contracts on the radio. And I'm thinking, man, how much is he thinking Mike McCarthy's back? And I don't want him to try to get leverage on me because the quarterback wants me. I don't want Mike coming and asking for $12 million. I'm trying to keep him at 5 or 6. And then, you know, you help Mike with your play. Maybe if you're Dak, you take that as a little bit of a shot, you know. That we didn't play better. And, you know, I'm sitting here at 3-7. So a lot to dig into, guys. There's my, you know, three thoughts on it. What stood out to you?
Oh, man. It's just, you know, there's a lot of reasons maybe why it would benefit them to keep Mike. Clearly, he has had success. They were 3 straight 12-win seasons. Granted, when you look back on that, they were feasting on a lot of teams that they should beat, and they did beat, which, hey, that's commendable. That doesn't always happen in the NFL. But I think the big thing is when you look at the body of work, when they've gone up against teams that are on the same level as them or better, how have they fared? And I don't think they've been on the winning end of that very often.
Looked pretty good against Pittsburgh.
They did. They looked good against Pittsburgh earlier in this season. But at that time, like, that's not even comparable to the Pittsburgh team you're seeing today, right? They were playing Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, yeah.
And I think when Fields left the game, being there and able to watch in person, I was thinking, my gosh, they're better with the backup quarterback because he can actually throw the football. And Justin Fields clearly was limited there. So, like, yeah, like, you could handpick a couple of games here, like the Philadelphia games over the last few years. That's been a good team. But it's the, you know, the game on the road against Miami, against Buffalo, the playoff games against San Francisco. They beat Tampa Bay,
yeah.
That's a playoff win, and they beat the crap out of them. And you can say, hey, that wasn't a very good division-winning Tampa Bay team. Hey, it's still a playoff win. I understand that. But I think that it also is some way of another excuse that Jerry kind of has at his disposal, where if things don't go well, I can deflect blame on myself in the front office, and I can use Mike McCarthy again as another year of, well, I tried, brought Mike back. We had the injuries. We had an offseason where I didn't do anything to help him really with the roster. But look, we're going to move on from the coach now. You do have to have a better option. When you're going to fire a head coach, yeah. You're going to move on from a quarterback, you need to make sure you've got a better option. Maybe they feel like there isn't one out there. Last year, I think there was.
Yeah.
I think you should look at what Jim Harbaugh is doing there in L.A. with the Chargers.
That would have been a hire.
Yeah, that's a dude that would have been a culture changer.
He's a boss.
They
though.
Missed an opportunity there.
Yeah,
this offseason, I don't know.
Brian, you know, a couple of times this week, I thought you've done a really astute job of, you know, trying to read between the lines of what Dak said and then Steven earlier. Did you get a feeling one way or the other as you were listening to Jerry talk about that?
Man, it bothers me in a way because I was really. Okay, this goes all the way back to last season and that goes to the Green Bay game and to where we are today. I was in that camp that they were going to let it ride with Dak. They were going to let it ride with the head coach. And, you know, with no signings in the offseason, you're kind of thinking, like, he's going to reshuffle this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I don't know what's driven him into this. The getting Dak signed, the maybe bringing back McCarthy, you know, this team offensively, if Mike McCarthy is part of this offense going forward, I don't know how you could sit there. And he even questioned that. He even questioned that after a game. He talked about the schemes and things like that. And it kind of led you to believe that, well, maybe Mike needs to change the play caller here. And I know I say that quite a bit. But I just can't believe what has changed that organization from potentially letting Dak ride. I'm not going to sign any free agents. We're going to try and draft this thing. And then I'm going to maybe change this head coach. It's just.
They're comfortable.
It looked like
at.
It. And I think this is where today, Steven Jones, I think when who asked him about, it was you, Zach, asked him about Mike McCarthy.
Oh, Dak, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Mike McCarthy
what
coming
he said
back.
About Mike, yeah.
It was glowing. You know, it was that glowing, that
right.
Kind of, that to that point. And Dawson, you hit the nail on the head. They're comfortable with this guy. They're comfortable with the way that he allows them to do what they want to do.
They love the status quo.
Hey, fine. You don't want to sign any free agents? I'm cool.
What that kind of sounded like to me is if Mike is willing to work for under market, that's singing Jerry's tune.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, I have to pay another coach $12 million. You're willing to go for another $5 million?
Yeah, I don't think his agent, and it's Don Yee, who and everybody knows that Don's my agent as well. I don't think Don Yee is going to go under market. I don't think he's going to do that. And I say that as a way because, you know, he's going to feel like that maybe that they have other options.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that like, well, listen, if I'm going to coach somewhere under market, I'll go somewhere else.
Okay, let me jump to this next cut. Arch's dad, Archie. Chief, where'd you find this?
Yeah, I just saw this circulating on the internet. Apparently somebody walked up to Archie Manning, grandfather of Arch Manning, and he's like sitting in a sports bar or whatever, just chilling. And this dude walks up with his camera phone rolling and asks him what he wants for the future of his grandson, Arch Manning.
What do you want him to go NFL-wise?
Oh, I hope he'll play 3 years at Texas.
Okay.
I hope he'll play 3 more years.
Good. 3 years at Texas.
But, you know, it's funny. Nobody's ever asked me that. Right off the bat, if somebody asked me, I'd say Cowboys.
You want to play for the Cowboys? Okay.
Why'd that guy have to laugh about it? Okay, that was a little disrespectful. We didn't need that, but
yeah, man, answered your
that
question.
Timeline would work out. Like he did say 3 more years.
He said three more years. That's interesting, and I guess Arch has the eligibility to do that, right? Yeah. As a redshirt freshman this year,
yes,
he could stick around and play 3 more years under Sark, develop. We know that the Mannings have talked plenty about how they're like they wanted him to sit and be slow played. So he's the unique situation where you could see him really just being comfortable developing in college for a few years on what is supposed to be probably a great Texas team. Their recruiting classes like from yesterday was outstanding. So, I mean, that's where you could go on 3 playoff runs as the Texas quarterback.
Wouldn't it be sweet if Arch and Jared had talked about this and you know Arch has no problem sending the kid where the kid wants to go? Ooh, you know, Eli Manning.
Yes.
We're gonna get an Eli Manning, Arch Manning situation to the Cowboys. Dak going to his final year. Do you guys like that?
Oh, I love that idea. Like that's why Jerry was willing to be like, okay, we'll just stick with Dak for the next 4 years. We're comfortable, McCarthy, whatever.
Yeah,
we'll
we want to start again with somebody else. Yeah, we can get Arch.
Yeah, we'll just tee this up, and that'll be the plan. Come whatever year that'll be, like 2027 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean
2028.
I think Arch gives them a better chance to win tomorrow against Georgia than Quinn does. I mean, yeah. I think Arch is the real deal with his ability to run. I mean, the touchdown.
Healthier.
He got Cooper's wheels and Peyton's arm. Let's go.
I mean, the run that he had, it's fourth down. They go for it. First snap, boom, going to take it for a touchdown. And then the aura afterwards, the flex.
Oh,
like,
man.
The entire sideline. There's something special about Arch Manning. I mean, you worry about the last name and are you being inflated because of what Eli's done, what Peyton's done because of the family.
Mm-hmm.
No, this kid is his own individual and is actually also a true badass that you can see being the next in line of the Manning greats.
I mean, a long way to go. He's got to be a consistent starter against football teams. And, you know, but what do you guys see from, you know, the pocket presence, the scoutable tools and the limited action that he's had so far?
Look, the mobility, I think, is one that definitely stands out. But he is the prototype. I mean, you look at the size that he's got. I think he can make every throw on the football field. It's a limited sample size at Texas because when he's gotten in, it's been in the fourth quarter against maybe the backups.
Had one start this year, right?
He played well.
Played well.
He had a bad interception on the first drive in the red zone,
right.
But then he cleaned it up after that, and I thought was really good. I mean, to me, you see all the tools. You see the skill set there. But in terms of like being able to really go deep dive into the film and look at the pocket awareness, how he handles pressure, where are the eyes going? Is he immediately looking to tuck it to run? Is he stepping up in the pocket? How is he navigating that? I think you need a little bit more against better competition.
Could be the succession plan, Brian. Would you give it a thumbs up at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this with the quarterback situation and all. I mean, if 3 years from now, man, if three years from now you're in a position to draft Arch Manning, that's probably been a pretty bad 3-year run. I don't know if we want to all go through that again. You know, that very reminiscent of the run we had in the early 2000s where we were 5-11 three straight years. I don't think anybody wants to go through that. But to get a quarterback like that, you have to put yourself in position, and that means playing really some bad football.
It could be a couple of good years or maybe one good year and then Dak hurt again or Dak getting older, unable to, you know, do the things that he's done throughout his career.
I wonder how New Orleans feels about this. You know,
I know. Because the guy even like follows up with like, you wouldn't want it to be the Saints, but then like everything cuts off, the video cuts
That's
off.
That's a great point.
So yeah, but I could see him being like, you know, I know way too much about that.
It's interesting to hear Archie talk, but that's an older gentleman right now. Asking him questions like that, that's kind of a worry about that a little bit. Remembering things, stuff like that. He had a really, really rough career.
Oh, dude. You think that's the CTE talking?
It's well, I don't, I'm saying that to me.
Shut up, Eric.
I would be very kind of mindful of the type of questions you ask Archie Manning.
Okay.
Because it just.
You've been around him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, when I was spending time in Louisiana and stuff like that. But right now, we see these older players. It's a struggle.
I like to think that you get older and you're just shooting from the hip. You know, I don't got to candy coat anything for you guys. I'm just going to tell you how I see it.
Just always be mindful of that.
All righty. I appreciate that heads up. You could kind of get some, you know, Brandon vibes off that as you were listening.
Sure.
Absolutely. I was kind of wondering the same thing myself. Okay.
Quite been a few beers deep, to be honest. He's sitting at the sports bar, you know, having himself a night.
Living it up as he should, as he deserves. He was a really, really good player.
He was. And it was on a shame some really bad teams. Yeah. He played for the Saints and he played for the Houston Oilers and did nothing but take a beating his entire career. And so, but I got to spend some time with him. Bennett went down to the Manning passing camp 2 years in a row.
That's right.
So, around really the whole crew down there.
Did you tell Peyton and Eli you were worried about their dad?
Oh, I didn't. I have to do that. Okay. I think we're all worried about our dads.
They told him.
we're all worried about our dads.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And Krusty's Corner's coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, we're going to get into some questions about this Bengals game and this matchup. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Ross, in for Lucius today. Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Ben Baby, Bengals beat writer. It's coming up at 4. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
To Reliant as well. Did I tell you guys, again, this is just kind of a fatherly brag thing that I'm going to do, but that Bennett, you know, he's involved with the Texas Cowboys, that group that we...
Yeah, you told us.
With I told you about the cannon?
Uh-huh.
Told you about...
We talked about it yesterday.
We did talk about it yesterday.
We did.
Okay, sometimes I remember. I'm like Archie Manning, I guess.
And that's next year he's running out with a can.
I just want to, I was sitting there because I was wearing the burnt orange today. I was just thinking.
But you did the whole Tampa Bay Buccaneers fire them cannons thing. You did like the whole deal.
Fire them cannons.
All right, Chief, right off the jump, here we go. Got questions for you here. Okay, who's more likely to wreck your day Monday? Trey Hendrickson or Ja'Marr Chase?
Ooh.
Who's more likely to wreck your day on Monday? Trey Hendrickson, the edge, or Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver?
Okay, I think it's a great question, especially you're talking about running Edoga out there. But we've seen, you have to go all the way back to week 1, but when Myles Garrett was like the only pass rusher for the Browns, they found a way to just try to mitigate him. They're trying to get the ball super quick out of Cooper Rush's hands. They want to run the football a little bit. I think they can do more things to just take Hendrickson out of the game, whereas Ja'Marr Chase is going to get fed the football. And Diggs, he's a question mark. Even if he plays, what version of himself are you getting? And obviously, Bland's still trying to work his way back in there. I mean, nobody's really been able to slow down Burrow to Chase. That's been... as about as consistent a duo as any all season. So I will go Chase will be the one that really, really grinds your gears.
Wooly?
Yeah, initially I was kind of thinking Hendrickson because of Edoga. And I mean, leads the league in sacks with 11.5.
Had 4 against the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a problem.
That's the Raiders.
Yeah.
That could be a problem. But, man, Ja'Marr Chase, he knows... he didn't have a great game the first time against the Cowboys.
One reception for 6 yards.
Chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's going to be a motivated Ja'Marr Chase.
Contract
and
year.
Yeah, that. I mean, I just think that he's a guy that with the uncertainty at corner, now you lost Josh Butler. If Diggs doesn't play, I could see Chase being the guy that wrecks the day.
Dawson.
I'm going to go with Chase as well. I think our guy Chalupa out there at left tackle is in real good shape here. You told me yesterday Trey doesn't try to fly around. He tries to stay inside. I think Udoga is big. I think they can protect the inside between him and Tyler Smith half decent. So I'm going to go with Chase, but I'm keeping my hopes up that the real answer is neither.
And it would just be, you know, my lady, like most of my days.
Does anybody feel like that Dallas can kind of slow down Hendrickson by just running the football?
Yeah, sure.
Or trying to run the football?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
The game plan, the Steeler plan, the Commander plan, the Giant plan.
Keep running away from
them. Will they do that? You think that this head coach as the primary play caller will be committed? I gave you this stat the other day. The Bengals are 1-5 in games where their opponent has rushed the ball for over more than 30 times. Will Dallas be committed like other teams have been?
If they fall behind, no.
Right.
The second they get into any trouble, it's like Mike decides, well, now we're throwing the ball 50 plus times. So if they're not able to follow their game script, which probably doesn't have a focus on running the football, then yeah. I mean, I think you've seen Mike will throw that out the window. He can't help himself, and now he's going to be dropping Cooper Rush back to throw 50 plus times. So if this thing starts getting out of hand, then absolutely the Rico Dowdle run game is not going to be a part of this thing.
Mm-hmm. They matched up really well in 2022. They held them to 17 points, Brian. Mm-hmm. I think the familiarity fairly recently, you know, gives the defense a pretty good chance. So keep it close. And I do think we saw Dowdle run for 100 yards and a touchdown. First time in 2 years that a Cowboys runner has done that. So it should be obvious. I've been screaming for it, you know, and finally we got Zeke out of there. So I think Mike has to clearly see that's the path to victory.
Yeah. I'm looking at the situation. My next question for you guys. Can you guys tell me this? There's a Cowboy defender who's averaged 4 pressures 4 of his last 5 games. It's a front 7 player.
Carl Lawson.
Yeah, I would guess Lawson too.
Overshown. Osa.
Go ahead, go for it, Dawson. Who is that guy?
DeMarvian Overshown?
No, just you said Overshown?
Yeah.
Chief, you named about 4 guys there.
Yeah. I feel good about all 4 of them. Give me Lawson.
Okay, well, just to be different, then I'll go with Osa.
It is Osa.
Okay. We nailed it.
Yeah. And let me ask you guys this, though. Do you kind of feel like that Osa, with what we've talked about with Alex Kappa, the right guard, you know, a liability in this football game, is this potentially a big, one of those big game moments for Osa?
Where he makes his money?
Yeah. Where all of a sudden we're like, he's sacking Joe Burrow and his pressures and stuff like that. Dawson, is this a money game for him?
I mean, the way that you've talked about Kappa, I would think so. I mean, maybe, you know, it could take a lot of time to get these linemen, you know, going, and sometimes I'm impatient with them, but that would make sense. I mean, the way that you broke it down for us, I guess that would be Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence to me that he's putting up these numbers, and it's also the best that Mozzie's been playing. I think that helps. And if Mozzie can end up having some type of, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, oh my gosh, Mozzie Smith has just played his best game, but he's looking like an NFL starter. And a lot of that will probably have to do with Ted Karras, their center, who you said is their best offensive lineman now.
Yeah, I think Ted Karras is pretty good.
But yeah, I think Osa should be able to take advantage of a guy like Alex Kappa.
I think he will have success and have similar results of what he's been doing, which is put 4 pressures. But Osa's not a take over the game, sack the quarterback a bunch of times. He's got 12 for his career. He's got 3 on the season. He's not sack the quarterback guy. But that doesn't mean he's not effective, and the pressures are still awesome. But I don't see him being, oh, wow, Osa just took over and dominated things. I don't see him sacking Joe Burrow more than maybe a half a time.
I got you. I think he'll affect this game, though. I think that there'll be some things that, If the Bengals don't try and run the ball, you know, this would be like the first time in a while that the Cowboys have played somebody that really won't try and run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's,
you can really pin your ears back in this one.
Yeah, I think this kind of plays into Dallas's hands. I think he's due for a big game. Dawson.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb has averaged a career low 8 air yards per target. It's a career low. Is he ever going to get off the snide is he going to have a game where it's better than?
There will probably be a couple of big games, but I just think that's a function of having Cooper Rush as your quarterback and how much they struggled early in the year. The offensive line, you know, unable to hold long enough to get him downfield. I only think that it is a function of, you know, what his surroundings are. Certainly his attitude doesn't help, though. Yeah, I agree. This is less about CeeDee Lamb and more about the offense as currently constructed. Your quarterback, your offensive line hasn't been trusted since week one, even when Dak was the quarterback. I don't think it's changing in terms of like the air yards per target. I think that just sort of is what it is. Now, hopefully he can have a couple of games where he's taking the 8-yard catch and making it a 58-yard catch, something like that. I could see that happening, assuming the shoulder's not going to keep holding him up. But the air yard stuff just is what it is. That's this offense.
Yeah, you can count on one hand the amount of times Cooper Rush is going to push the ball down the field. You know, it's maybe two or three times a game, and that's not changing. So I agree. If CD's going to have big plays, it's going to be I'm taking a drag, I'm taking a 5 to 10 yard hitch, and now I'm making plays after the catch, breaking a tackle, and boom, here's a 40-yard chunk. So I don't think the air yardage is going to change at all. I think everything that you both said is right when it comes to Cooper Rush and the offense.
And every time they go deep, it's usually not to him. They got three other guys they like to throw to more, I think.
Final thing real quick here. If I told you guys this, that the Cowboys wide receivers have forced the most missed tackles and gained the third most yards in the league off missed tackles, what would you think to that?
Well, that's the function of their offense, that they're catching the ball always with the corner on their back. So I got to turn and beat a dude. He's a corner, so I can outman him a little bit. And then I got maybe a linebacker coming over. So I just think it's that you're not catching the ball beyond levels. You're not breaking lines of the defense with your passes.
Yeah, that's the answer, 100%. Dawson nailed it.
I'd still be surprised, though, to hear that. I mean, outside of CeeDee Lamb, like, you just don't have a lot of guys that you think of, like, Tolbert is, like, breaking tackles.
Yeah, but it's like they break a tackle 4 yards down the field for an extra 3 yards. You know what I mean? It's not like it's 20 yards down the field and it's huge plays.
I would have never believed that this receiving core has broken 36 tackles this year. I would have never believed that the way this offense has looked.
They must have got them in bunches. A couple of broken plays led to CeeDee Lamb touchdowns early, but they're not coming to my mind quickly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, thank you, sir. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Tune in Monday for our last segment before the Cowboys pregame show, and then on Tuesday, 3:40, Broadus will already have looked at the film. He is the first media member to get a gander at that. He'll deliver all your takeaways and, film don't lie type stuff at 3:40. Ben Baby covers the Bengals for ESPN Cincinnati. He joins you next in the Nation.